So we're continuing to celebrate Longford Town's promotion to the Premier Division, and I'm joined now by manager Darragh Doyle and assistant manager John Martin. Lads, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, how's things?
Great. I'm very good. Thanks yourselves.
All good. All good now this morning.
Had worse days, yeah?
Yes. Now, there was a great interview you did with Ron Madigan from Watch LOI on the pitch afterwards, and the raw emotion of immediately after the game. And a little joke between you at the end that you'd both be arriving home to your wives at 2:30 this afternoon. So did you make it back on time?
Yeah, I think we did. We actually got home quite early, and it was probably a strange feeling yesterday after the game. And I suppose you have to do all the press and the media work that needs to be done after the game. And you probably miss out on a bit of celebration with the group and the players, and with the way things are now with COVID, all of a sudden people are leaving, and it's a weird and different feeling to usual when there's crowds and family and people there to support you. So I think I got home at about 6:30 and had a cup of tea. And I had the gang waiting for me to arrive when I got back. So the kids were outside. And listen, it was not a nice feeling. Unfortunately, you couldn't have family or friends there. So it was nice to arrive home and have the kids out to welcome you in and say well done.
Yeah, like similar, like I helped put the kids to bed when I came home, and I had a cup of tea, and I actually had some chicken nuggets and chips as well. So, wasn't too wild on the celebrations, but it's nice to actually spend a bit of time with the family after these things as well, because you tend not to see too much of them during the season, is the truth. So, we had a good night though. It's a nice feeling.
You both played for Longford Town as well, lads, and that makes what happened yesterday even more special, in my opinion. And you could really see, I mean, even listen to what you were saying about talking to Rob Manley at halftime about the Penno miss, but about the history of previous big misses in games like that for Longford and what the outcome could be. And I'm sure that just made the whole achievement, Dara, extra special.
Yeah, no, listen, it did. And John touched on the work and the time that we've put in with the group. And listen, we came good at the business end, and it was a special feeling. And listen, we have a group of players and staff now that achieved something special for our club. It's a fantastic club. It really is. There's so many great people supporting us. The staff we have, the players we have, the people in the background. And listen, we have everything set up to be a successful Premier team. And we think we were asked yesterday which ground we were looking forward to playing at. And we said we're looking forward to playing at home and looking forward to bringing all these top sides to our place to see what we have. And we hope fans will be allowed back in next year. And listen, that would make our day. We're delighted to be up in the Premier. And listen, I suppose it's vindication for all the hard work, the commitment, the effort and the time that we've spent on the club and putting into this team. And listen, it's paid off and we're delighted.
Yeah. The interesting thing is people don't change, Jamie. Like from I joined in 2004, and look, it's the same people. They don't even look different. I don't know, they don't age up in Longford, but it's basically the same people from 15, 16 years ago. And when I went back last year, when Dara asked me to go back, the time machine. And like the people of Longford are, I think they're unique. They are very, very, very hospitable. And if you do your best for them, then they give it back tenfold. So yes, it's great to do for those type of people.
Yeah, and you mentioned there about looking forward to having home crowds next year, and touch wood by February or March or whenever we have a day for the restart, that there can be at least small crowds back into the grounds anyway. And you know, it's a great stadium down there, Dara. I've been lucky enough to get down lots of Saturdays over the last couple of years because I try and get to see as many games as I can. And the fact that Longford play home games on a Saturday means that it's not a clash with games on a Friday, for example. And, you know, the pitch is really good. The stadium is one of the few in the league that has 4 stands that can actually be used. The old carpet in the changing rooms, the old tunnel. It's just going to be a special place for your team to be playing in the big league, the Premier League next season.
Yeah, listen, it's where we set out to be. That was our aim at the start of the season. We felt we put together a really good group, and the work on the group that we've put together started as soon as the season finished last year, and it was nailed on that we had this position for the coming season. And we put in so much effort to, I suppose, recruit and get this group of players and staff together to achieve something special. And listen, we've done that now, and I'm just delighted with our group, and I couldn't ask for better help. I know John probably won't like me saying it, but listen, he's unbelievable, the amount of work he does and what he puts in and what he gives to the lads in our group. And there's other people that aren't on this call, the likes of Stephen Maher, who's a performance coach, Jer with our goalkeeper, and Willie and Albert, who are physios. We have Derek, an opposition analyst, James. There's so many brilliant people involved in the background that have helped us to get here, and I couldn't be happy with them all. But for John in particular, he's top class, and in my opinion, the best assistant manager you can have.
Yeah, on the game yesterday, and it brings me to the point I wanted to make, spoke to Joe and Rob Manley, and people listen to the podcast, that'll actually be on after you guys have been on, but I've already recorded the interview, the magic of a podcast. And Joe said that he has never been involved in a team that has had as specific a build-up to the last number of weeks in the playoff games, and just how much was put in by the staff to ensure that the players had every scenario possible to get them ready for UCD and then Galway and then Shelburne yesterday. You might explain that, what's gone into that, and we're sitting here on Zoom. Zoom has played a massive role in the use of different types of ways to do video analysis and team meetings to get the lads ready for what's been the biggest 3 or 4 weeks of your season.
Yeah, I suppose for the good thing about the playoffs is it's we said it yesterday, it's easier to win a 3-game playoff than an 18-game league. And I suppose we had conversations in the build-up to the Wexford game of, you know, this sort of concept of going full-time for the 3 weeks for the duration of the playoffs. And that meant that we were either training or online every day. And I suppose the idea would be we'd ask the players, because everyone has jobs and everyone has other things going on in their life because we're a part-time club. But for a 3-week period, we just basically asked people to abandon everything. And it was all in on the football, and that staff and players. And I suppose we took the players out of their comfort zone a lot, and we gave them group tasks, we gave them assignments, and I suppose we let them do a lot of the talking and present back their ideas to the coaching staff. So really, like, a lot of the game management and a lot of the way we approached the game was player-led, and we just facilitated it. And then I suppose that the tactical work, we did a lot of opposition analysis on the three teams. And then, you know, Dara and myself then brought that to life on the training pitch. So I suppose we left no stone unturned for the lads. And I suppose what we said in the three games, the only thing we weren't sure of was the unexpected, because we knew exactly what the three teams were going to do, and sometimes that's not enough. But, you know, probably in the three games, after 10 or 15 minutes of the three games, we looked at each other and went, okay, this is going the way we felt it was going to go. And that's a nice feeling. And I think listening to the players, that's a nice feeling for them when they're on the pitch, because what they prepared for and what they actually thought about themselves is happening. So it's... As we said it to the Manleys, it's like going into an exam with the cheat notes in your pockets, like, and you know, that's what we did. So it was a pretty intense 3 weeks, and even Dara will tell you have to lift yourself even as a coach or as the manager to be on and be intense and to be getting after them. Like, the lads were laughing. We looked at Kieran Kilduff was fouled 39 times this season, and we looked at every one of those incidents and see what areas of the pitch he was fouled in, who were the refs, what were they doing, you know, and what does he do to get him free kicks, and again, we relayed that back to the players to make sure that they were aware of that. So, look, very intense 3 weeks, but we got the rewards from it, and I suppose it's, me and Dara would love to, for this to be what we do all the time, and, you know, and it does show that when you can put the time and effort in, you can make a big difference.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because if you look then at the team itself, and you've been able there to pick the same starting 11, I think I'm right in saying, for all three playoff matches, and the system's very interesting with the three centre-backs and then the wing-backs and then the four midfield with Zambra and Durbin sitting there in front, and then your two number 10s or number 8s have been so important to get up close to Rob Manley, who scored his 10th goal of the season yesterday, the goal that eventually sealed the path back to the Premier. And how much work have you guys been putting into that system? It's quite uncommon, similar enough to Shamrock Rovers in the Premier in certain ways, and having the box in midfield, but centre-backs, wing-backs and a striker. And I've been fascinated watching it work and the amount of work that's gone into making that happen.
Yeah, we've obviously put a lot of work into it. It's obviously a system that we changed to, I think, after the Cove game in the summer. And we felt with the players we had and what their capabilities were that this was a system that would suit our team and the players in it. We put so much work into it. We spoke about it. We showed them on tactics boards. We sent them videos. We did it on the training pitch. We did every sort of scenario possible of where we should be on the pitch in possession and where we should be in on the pitch out of possession. And them things are huge, and they're things that they take time. It doesn't happen overnight. So we just built it and built it and built it. And you see over time, and John mentioned about the preparation, I felt going into these games that we were ready. We were so ready for the games. And after the game last week against Galway, I was just sorry that we had to wait 9 days. I wanted to play the next day nearly, because I felt we're ready for this. We need to play again. But you mentioned it takes a huge amount of commitment and work, but listen, it's worth it. We've achieved something special now, and everything that we've put in with this group, I mean, it makes it all worthwhile. It really does.
Yeah, and if we look at the last three games and the drama of them, going to speak to Dean Byrne on the pod as well, and Joe Gorman equalises twice in the last minute of 90 minutes, and then in extra time in the UCD match before Dino pops up with the winner. In Galway, you guys are two up and quite comfortable, and they get a scrappy goal towards the end, and all of a sudden it's game on again. And the same in the game yesterday, you're 1-0 up, 4 minutes injury time, Shells playing almost with five up front. They moved their centre-backs up front towards the end as well. Like, the drama on the sideline of you guys trying to keep the lads calm, keep yourselves calm, and ensure that the games are won, you probably couldn't have wished for more dramatic closing minutes in any of the three big playoff matches.
Yeah, no, they were crazy. The UCD game in particular, like you said, with a 90-minute equaliser, then to get an equaliser in the extra time, and then with a last-minute Dean Byrne goal, who, like I say, he spent a large part of this year doing rehab, doing recovery to get himself back, and that was after he had a serious injury the season before as well. So for Dean Byrne to get that goal and the work that man puts in, and how big a player he is for our group, when Dean Byrne is involved in our group, he gives everybody a lift, and it was great to have him back. And you mentioned the emotion he possibly showed when he spoke to you earlier, and we've seen that ourselves, and we've been there for Dean since day one. We knew how big a player he was for us, and you'll have Dean who I suppose won us the game and got us through to the Galway game, where he doesn't feature, but he was on the bench, and that's a mark of the rest of the quality in our group, that we had every player in our group together and that contributed. They really did, and it's due to the whole group and the contribution of everyone that we were in that position. Like you say, in the game yesterday, I felt we probably could have been 2-0 up. I still don't know why Joe Gorman's goal was ruled out offside when they had two players on the line. But listen, I'm not going to moan about that now. It's 1-0. It would have made the last 10 minutes possibly a bit more comfortable for us on the sideline. You mentioned you could possibly see, you know, it's tough in them games when it's so close. And you mentioned the amount of forward players that they threw forward, which made it difficult. But you look at our three defenders, our wing-backs that got back in, and that cover that the lads give in front, that makes it difficult for teams to play through us. And when you mentioned their two eights or tens, as you call them lads have to put in a huge amount of work, because simply, if you don't put in that work, it doesn't work. So, you know, to make things happen, it takes every single player to have to do their job, and that's something that we've had our players do really well, particularly in these playoff games.
Yeah, I think the game management was a big thing, and again that was player led. That was one of the tasks we gave them, but we actually had prepared to what our approach was if we fell behind, what our approach was when we were losing, what our approach was when we were winning, and the players all had triggers on each of those scenarios. So in UCD we had all three scenarios in the one game, and people probably don't realise or notice that in the last 10 minutes yesterday, we gave away virtually no free kicks in our own half. And again, that was something that was drilled into the players, something they spoke about at length. And we didn't even have a scenario. We would have thought that at some stage you would have to defend the big box, ball into the box yesterday with Jack Brady and the hold them up. They didn't get a chance because the lads didn't give away free kicks. And again, that was by design. That was from them. So, look, it's really, really down to the players to actually what they did. So it's great.
Yeah, the podcast, lads, is called League of Ireland Lives, and I like to talk to people about their life that leads them into the League of Ireland. And you spoke, John, about the lads almost going full time, and you guys going full time in the evenings for the last number of weeks, and people have jobs, and some people have kids, and some people have mortgages, and others are living home with their parents, and you know, the staff are working, and the sacrifice that people make to put in. Sometimes your 6 a.m. alarm goes off and you're not home till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're still in WhatsApp groups and you're still watching clips and you're still reading stuff. Like, the work that goes in from both the staff side and the player side for a part-time League of Ireland team to make what you've done this season work is something that a lot of people probably wouldn't necessarily see just how much goes into all of that.
Yeah, and then
the Wexford game, like, so we got home from Wexford at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting in my car outside the front house here talking to Darrell on the phone for 45 minutes at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know,
yeah,
that's just normal.
Yeah, it's sort of like you say, it takes over, and it's something we mentioned to the lads yesterday just before they went out. Listen, football is probably the most important of the least important things in life. You have your family and your health that are obviously number one, and like football for like, I've been involved in it all my life. John, likewise. And I know, Jamie, you were usually involved in football yourself, and it does take over so much of your life that it becomes part of your family life, because that's what they see you do all the time. And it's that important. That if I feel it feels that important to me, that you have to give it everything you have, and to not give it everything you have, you're only not giving yourself the best chance you have. And I think we have to have the approach like that, and you have to love it, you have to want to do it. And when you feel like that, and you have the people behind you and the staff and players supporting you, it does make things easier. It does, but it does take full commitment. And yeah, a crazy life when you, like you said, like myself and John, we both have kids and loads going on and families. And yeah, like I mentioned, it's worth it. It's worth it now that we've achieved something special. And listen, to planning for us again, me and John will probably have to sit down this week. And listen, we'll be planning already. And I guarantee yesterday after the game, there was little things that people won't know. We've already started planning. So yeah, loads for us to do. And listen, we do it because we love it. And that's it.
As the phone rings there from one of your players demanding a pay rise or something on the day after the day after the league, the league promotion. For you guys, lads, I've just learned that you're both 40. Is that right? John Martin, I didn't think you were 40.
No, I look about 34.
Yeah. Myself and John did the A-Lights together, Dara, back in 2014, maybe. We had some great fun on and off the pitch. I think there was a night in Sligo where John may have been seen doing WWE somersaults off sofas in hotel receptions back in the day.
Yeah, that was part of part of my final assignment, actually, Jamie. That was coaching related. No.
Yeah, but like, sorry, the point I was trying to make was like, I remember, John, we were chatting then. We were actually in the same micro group, and you had ambitions then to take your great career, you know, in your professional life and your football career into a career in coaching. And for you, Darragh, this is the end of your first full season as a manager. You took over from Neil in a caretaker capacity when he moved to Cork last season, and you're both being heavily involved in coaching for the last number of years. But have you had time yet, either of you, just to reflect on the personal achievement and the achievement of the staff on what you've done? And, you know, you've both achieved the ultimate goal of getting the club to where you guys feel it belongs, and that's something that definitely has to be celebrated.
Listen, like I say, yesterday it's sort of strange celebrations, and you get home and you sit down for a few minutes and you take it in that what you actually have achieved. And you mentioned it's huge, it's special, and it'll probably be, like I say, my phone was absolutely hopping all day yesterday, to the point that I just actually put it down for the night. I didn't look at my phone until this morning. And it's just nice sometimes to take it in. Like I say, we did get to see each other for a brief period and enjoy each other's company for a bit last night amongst a couple of the staff and players. And it was nice to do that. And I felt it was important that something small happens, and we got to be able to do that. And it's probably going to be over the coming days. And I suppose people will probably tell us how special it is, but it feels great. And it's an achievement, and that I do know.
Yeah, it's things like fixture lists and things like that when it comes around for next year. I left in 07 in Longford, and I said it to someone yesterday, I left mid-season to go to Rovers, and Longford were relegated at the end of that season. I think you played, Dara, sorry to bring that up. But, you know, that's a regret of mine. I left at the wrong time. You know, so for me, it was nice to try rectify that, albeit 13 years later, you know, and to be on the other side of it. So it is a good feeling, and it's probably part of our prep there, isn't it? We've been saying to the players, like what the players will have now is they can probably go back to Longford in 15, 20 years time. Mm. All those lads who haven't aged will probably still be there, and they'll remember them all. And that's when you get that's when the achievement hits home. It's probably not today or tomorrow. It will probably be somewhere down the line.
Lads, lastly, or second lastly, because I know you guys have a busy afternoon ahead, the people of Longford who weren't able to celebrate physically with you guys last night, I think, Darragh, you said to Siobhan Madigan that Richmond Park would have been full yesterday of Longford fans and of Shelburne fans. The UCD Bowl would have been packed for the UCD and Galway games as well. And there was a great video on Twitter, which I'm sure you've both seen, of the people of Longford driving around the town last night, beating their horns with all their Longford gear on, and social media has been so busy since yesterday with people just thanking you and telling you guys that they love you and stuff. And even though they couldn't be there, they did celebrate in their own ways. And I'm sure when you can get down to Longford for a pre-season game or whatever it might be next year and get them back, they can thank you personally, all gone well with this virus, and they're all so happy what you guys have done as well.
Yeah, listen, they've been great. We've had so many videos, messages beforehand as well, which all the players were aware of. We got it all into the group to show the importance of what it means to our club and I suppose then to the town. And there's loads of people that back the club. There really is. And you mentioned the parade they had through the town last night in the cars and everything. And it's unbelievable to see scenes like that. And we would have loved nothing better had we as a group been able to go back to Longford, because in normal circumstances and normal times, that's what would have happened. So we appreciate it, them doing that. It's great that they were able to do something to mark it. We don't know how things are going to change now, whether when we come out of this lockdown, if we'd be able to get up as a group and actually maybe do something together. And we'll wait, and I suppose time and the government and people will dictate to how we can move about and what we can do over the coming weeks. But it would be great to get back up to Longford and see the people that have supported us over all these years and to thank them for that support. And for the players to see it, because I think when they see what's there for them and the support that's there for them, and listen, it'll be a great way for them both to thank each other, because it's been done as a club.
And lastly, I heard Tim Clancy on the League of Ireland Weekly podcast a couple of weeks ago with Dan McDonald and Johnny Ward, and he was actually on the way to meet the Drogheda chairman to find out about his budget and what was going to happen and retain the players and sign some other experienced players and stuff. You guys have had to wait a couple of weeks later to confirm what league you were going to be in, which I'm sure impacts budgets and squads and all that sort of stuff. So work will begin very, very soon, if not already, on all of that stuff, with a shorter off-season than ever in the league. And touch wood, things get going again for pre-season just after Christmas, and it's all systems go for a February kickoff.
Yeah, no, it is, isn't it?
Massive budget, I think, Dara. Jim Hanley said yesterday after the game.
That's what I heard him say, so.
Yeah,
he's a
massive budget, Bruce. So, that's we keep, we're delighted with that, Neil.
We'll
give that one to Dara.
Yeah, listen, they're the conversations you want to be having. Listen, if we weren't having that conversation, it would mean we'd have had a disappointing year. We haven't, so it's a conversation I look forward to. And listen, we'll get cracking as soon as we can to plan and prepare for the coming season.
Well, lads, thank you many for jumping on. And I know, Dara, we did a couple of live streams around the last couple of weeks, and you've been fantastic with your time pre-match and post-match, and even today the two of you jumping on when you, I'm sure, want to relax and whatever. So thanks a million. Congratulations. Enjoy the celebrations the best way you can, and we'll see you in 2021.
Super. Thanks very much,
Jamie.
Longford Town's Dean Byrne, how are you?
All good, Jay, yeah. Very good. A bit sore head this morning, but you got on with.
Yes, a WhatsApp to inform me you were peeling the head off the pillow. So I know everyone had to be very careful with COVID-19, but you did enjoy a couple of socially distanced drinks last night to celebrate the big promotion victory.
Yeah, we obviously had to be careful. We are mindful of it, which is a bit of a sour buzz to it, because everyone's on a massive high after yesterday. But we will celebrate properly when we have the chance to, as a team.
Dean, you put up a tweet an hour ago and it reads, "Football has the ability to take it to your lowest lows, but also to your highest highs. I've experienced that in both ways this year. I genuinely thought my career was over in February, and to come back and achieve this, I can't even explain the buzz of it all." Well, try your best to explain it to me. Your year, the injury, the comeback, and the buzz of yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'll ever be able to explain the buzz of yesterday. But to cap it all, like, I started the year out. I came into the pre-season this year the highest confidence I've ever had in my life after what I'd done last year, just missing out on PFAI Player of the Year. Coming into the season and I met Dara, I had a few offers from other teams, but I met Dara and I believed in what he was telling me. We know that what he says, he sticks to his word. So he said basically that he wanted to build a team around me this year, and I was excited by that. So I came back in, I was buzzing, played very well in most of the pre-season games and started off well, and obviously came to the first game and that injury happened. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I was looking at my foot facing the other way around. I was like, I'm never coming back from this, Only for the strong-minded people around me. I literally would have caved in. I really would have. It was really, really tough, especially after having a six-month. I had a groin tear the first season that I ever played in the League of Ireland. I had a groin tear, so coming back from that then to this, it was just crazy, like, you know. And obviously, thankfully, COVID-19 happened. Not thankfully, but, you know, it has helped me a lot in terms of the break in football. But I've worked hard, so hard, man. Behind the scenes that people will never see, you know. But yeah, it all led into yesterday perfectly. And thankfully, we got over the line yesterday and it just made it all worth it.
I want this interview to be more about the comeback and, you know, the goal against UCD in the last minute and what happened yesterday. But just one more on the injury, like, you outlined it well there. What exactly happened? It was the first night of the season, and honestly, there were fears that night from you, from people on social media, from the club, from everyone, that was it, game over.
Yeah, literally, like, I genuinely thought it was finished. Like, as I said, like, I know it's a gruesome detail, but my ankle was literally facing the other way around. It was facing upside down, like, and it was a horrible moment that never leave my head. Like, you know, it was really, really tough to see that. But as I said, like, it's just the people around you. It's a massive thing for you. Like, I think injuries are more of a mental battle than anything. You know, you either want to get back and do it or you don't. And I worked so hard, I swear to God. So hard to get back. I've done everything in that by the letter of the law, like, to get back. And obviously, I got back in time to help them. That, especially for the UCD game, like, that just, I can't even explain that. That's still running around in my head, you know. I never thought that I'd have a moment like that again. On that night, like, I never thought that would happen, especially in the same year that it happened. Like,
were those moments and the moment of, say, the UCD winner, which we'll talk about in more detail, or the win yesterday, were they the type of things that got you through? You spoke about the injury being more of a mental battle than a physical one. Were you the type of fella to be trying to picture what a great moment would be like when you did return?
Yeah. Oh, every single day. You know, I kept watching old videos of last season and the goals that I scored and little clips of things that I'd done right, things that I'd done wrong. I was analysing my game like mad, and just, especially I was going back to the goals and that, getting that feeling back, you know. It was like, I want to have that feeling again. I need to have that feeling again. You know, just pure ecstasy of scoring a goal. You can't beat it, that feeling of scoring a goal, scoring winning goals, scoring important goals. It really did get me through with the thought of coming back and doing something like that again.
The majority of League of Ireland players hated lockdown and hated the fact that a third of the season, or half the season in the case of the Premier Division, was gone because of COVID and because the season had to be curtailed. But for you, you wouldn't probably have played a minute, bar the first minutes on that first night of the season, had the break in the league not happened. So every cloud has a silver lining and all that. And for you, did you think, when you realised how late the league would be, that there was a chance that you'd be back this year?
Yeah, as you said, every cloud has a silver lining. I don't know how that looked for me. Like, you know, it was just crazy how it all happened. But yeah, the longer it was going on and the more delays, they were saying, oh, we're back in 2 weeks, we're back in 3 weeks and all. And I was looking at it, I was like, I can get back here. Like, you know, we worked closely with the physios and everything, that was anyone that looked after me. And they were like, don't put a time frame on your injury, because you'll only disappoint yourself if you're not actually back on that date. And the more the season went on and on and on, and then I heard the 31st of July, and I was like, that's like 5 months after my injury. Like, I can do this, like, I can get back. So it came to another month after that, so 6 months in total out, which is, I think, remarkable that I even got back. Because if you had seen the fourth that night, like, I'm just thinking, like, how have I turned it around, you know? But yeah, as you said, like, the delay on it, and I'm coming back, and everyone, like, the season getting halved and stuff, like, just constant delays with the return date for it. I knew that there was going to be a chance for me to get back in, you know.
And you did get back in, and you got back in big style at the UCD Bowl when Joe Gorman had to score two headers in the playoff semi-final against UCD to equalise in the 90th minute, equalise in extra time. And then there's a throw-in on the left-hand side in the 121st minute, and 10 seconds later, you've popped it in the top corner and won your team the game. And the scenes of emotion were just brilliant. Tell me what you remember about it.
Yeah, so I'd actually picked up a knock. I'd been suffering with my ankle, actually a bit of tissue damage and everything for the 2 weeks prior to the game. I actually missed out on the last league game the season against Wexford. I wasn't ready, and I missed out on all the sessions and everything. So I was thrown back into the UCD game, you know, and just hope for the best, give us what you can. And obviously I was analysing the game when I was on. I was like, there's a lot of space in the number 10 area. Like, there's pockets there to be exploited. So I got a few times, I had a few wayward shots and stuff. And I then I picked up a knockdown with about 15 minutes to play. And Joe scored, and you can actually visibly see me dragging my foot back to the halfway line. And then the goal, like, I don't know where I got the energy for it to go. I thought the game was finished. I was just waiting on penalties. And then the ball, I just read what Rob was going to do. I seen Rob getting the touch, he hit it into the box. And then I seen Callum, I was going for his chest, Callum Warfield. And I was like, I'm getting on to the end of this. Like, and thankfully he set me up, and I knew the second I left my foot that was in the goal. So you can see me celebrating before the ball even hit the net. I can't even explain that feeling. It was just pure emotion running through me, like, you know. I didn't even know what to do. I just ran towards this. There was not even fans to run to, so I just ran in a straight line, you know.
Yeah, it's the type of goal that you see scored in small-sided games and training all the time, where it's a little drop-off or a combination on the edge of the box and someone smashes one in. And in training, they're very, very common. But to do it in such a big match, at such a big moment in the match, because if it goes to penalties, which if you shot the ball over the crossbar, the goal kick happens and it's the final whistle and it's penalties, and then it's a 50-50 game. So, like, all of those small-sided games, all the practice in and around the box and training stood you in good stead for that very important, crucial goal.
Ah, definitely, yeah. The small-sided games are my type of games, you know, because I grew up playing on five-side pitches around in the DNRC. That was all I ever done was five-a-sides, and the small-sided games and training, I love them. They're so sharp and everything, you know, but to obviously bring that out onto a pitch is major, and the importance of that goal for us. I think if we had gone to penalties, you know, I think more UCD were in favour, because we were so low on confidence going into that game. I can't even explain it. Like, we'd been beaten by Wexford, and just the mood in the camp, it just wasn't right, you know. We weren't playing to the standards that we knew we had, obviously, which we've shown over the last two or three games. Like, we know we can play to the highest standard. But going into that, I know for a fact that the lads weren't confident going into that penalty shootout. And that goal, I think, literally, it was like a flip of a switch. With the mentality monsters we've turned into in the last 2 weeks, like, we were up for any battle, whatever game was thrown at us, we were ready for it, you know. And I knew after that goal, I knew we were getting promoted. I just knew.
And then it brings you to the Galway game, which ends up being a win, a 2-1 win, but you didn't appear in that match. And I know, interviewed Darragh Doyle and A. Durbin after the game, and the gaffer spoke about, you know, the reasons why you had to make certain substitutions. And I was sure, having you scored the goal the last week, that you'd have a key role to play in the next one, but you didn't. But you were still absolutely delighted for your team. And then it comes to the game yesterday against Shelburne. You did come on in the second half, and you were on the pitch at the final whistle when promotion was sealed, which was the fitting end to what has been such an interesting year for you, difficult year. I'm not sure what word I'd use to describe how your year was and how it ended at Richmond Park at around, what, 4:30 yesterday, 4:15?
Yeah, we finished the game in UCD. As I said, look, I was suffering bad with my ankle running up to the UCD game. I actually had a slight sprain on it, on the ligaments around it, you know. So I had to be mindful of that and be careful with that. Just in case we did go on after the UCD game, we beat UCD and go on deep into the playoffs. But I know we scored that goal against UCD, but I suffered bad after, you know. I was in pain, a lot of pain after, for a couple of days after. So it was only right, like, I wasn't 100%, so, you know, it was only right that players that are ready to go are going to play. And I thought the lads were absolutely exceptional against Galway. It was like men versus boys for 85 minutes in that game. They couldn't get near us. And the game plan worked excellently, and obviously that was the team that was going to play yesterday as well, you know. And that was only right. The lads were full of confidence. They were ready to go to war for each other, you know. And then me as well. Like I think that set us aside yesterday. You look at the subs that Shells brought on, and the one that I came on, and you look at who wanted them all. I came on and literally left every ounce of energy that I had in me on the pitch, you know, because I wanted to win. It was a will to win. Every player in the squad, whether you were in the 18, whether you were in the starting 11, everyone wanted the same goal at the end of yesterday, and I think that's why we prevailed, you know.
Now, Dean Byrne doesn't want me to ask him this question and show this photo, but I'm going to, and he knows what's coming here. Harry Murphy from Sportsfile, one of Sportsfile's brilliant team of brilliant photographers, got a snap yesterday at Richmond Park, and the caption that Harry gave it is "sealed with a kiss," and I'm going to try and show the people here now on the iPad, right, if you can have a little look. So that is Dean Byrne, number 20 for Longford, correct? And Sam Verdon, yes, of Longford, who was injured. And a nice, sloppy kiss on the lips during COVID-19. I know Sam has a miss. I'm not sure if you do, but you didn't really care come the celebrations yesterday.
I didn't know what I was doing. I'm cringing since that photo. I'm in trouble with the girlfriend and everything I am.
You can't explain it. It's just one of those emotional moments.
No, I can't. It looked very passionate as well.
But yeah, it just shows how much it meant to you that the first thing you decided to do was give Sambo a big kiss.
Sam is a very good friend, you know. He just came up and he was like, "Just give me a kiss on the lips. I love you."
So you're blaming him?
Yeah. I'm blaming him. All the blame is going on him, no doubt.
Very good. Yeah, so that's one of the moments of the final whistle yesterday. I was heading back to try and catch the Ireland-Wales game, so I didn't see too much of the celebrations, but like whistle blows, celebrations like that, and then into the dressing room, I saw a couple of Instagram lives of you guys just so happy, and those winning moments are why we're all involved in football, really.
No doubt, yeah. I think the way we won before the playoffs, like, I think it brings a team together more, you know, because you're fighting. Like, we went through three cup finals, like, and cup finals are where you leave blood, sweat and tears on the pitch, like, you know, for each other. Everyone was fighting for each other, and it brings a bond together that you can't explain unless you're involved in football or sport, you know, and you win titles, you win playoff games, you win everything. It's a tight-knit group, and we felt that yesterday, we really did. We're all friends on the team, you know, which is not really common, you know. It's a team of winners now after yesterday, you know. So we'll take that as experience going into next season now, and hopefully we can mix it with the big boys now.
So it's the afternoon after the night before when Longford Town won promotion to the Premier Division thanks to a 1-0 win over Shelburne at Richmond Park. And I'm joined by two of their heroes now, the Manleys, Joe, the centre-back, and Rob, the striker. Good afternoon, lads. How are you?
Afternoon, Jamie.
Yeah, good, thanks, Jay.
So there was a nice Instagram picture up last night of you lads at home with a couple of pints of takeaway Guinness, wasn't it, to celebrate from an amazing afternoon. So how was your night, first of all, and how are the heads?
It was a good night. Obviously, we can't do too much with the restrictions in place, but our family looked after us well, and we stopped into Cavanagh's there on Dorset Street on the way back, and got a couple of takeaway points, brought a few home for our older brother, and it was a good night, all right. We done as much celebrating as we could in the current circumstances, you know.
Yeah, strange after such a big win and such a big football moment in both of your careers and in the club's history that there couldn't be a proper celebration, but you made the most of what you could just at home with the family.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, sharing the experience with the people who mean most. I know it's a bit cringy, but it is, to be fair.
So the game itself, Rob, you scored the winner 6 or 7 minutes into the second half, having already missed a penno. And in the first half, you ended the season top scorer with the club. I think it was 9 league goals and then 1 in the playoffs to follow up a really good season last year with Cabin Teely, and some fantastic photos of the celebrations and just the emotion and the joy on your face, knowing that your goal helped your team to promotion. So what's your memories of the game, the goal, and just how much it meant to you?
Just the build-up to the game all week. It was like so nervous leading into the game. It was a long week. I think we didn't find out who we were playing. I think we played the Galway on Friday. We didn't know who we were playing until Monday afternoon. And then didn't know where we were playing and when we were playing until Wednesday, I think. So everyone was asking me during the week who you're playing and when you're playing. It was just a long build-up to the game, which built up the nerves again. And just going into the game, it was just a great occasion. We have good players in the team who deserve a chance to play in the Premier Division. And I'm glad we could do it as a team.
Yeah, you got the goal to win it. You also missed the penalty in the first half. Luke Byrne was sent off in the incident that you won the penalty as well. What were you thinking when that went over the crossbar and then to get the chance to score the winning goal in the second half? I'm sure you were quite pleased that miss from the penalty spot didn't cost your team too much.
Yeah, you just have to take them. When you put yourself on the pedestal for taking penalties, stuff like that is always going to happen. So it's just all about how you react to it. Can't let it affect you too much, and you have to come out and prove yourself wrong or prove yourself in the second half. Delighted I could.
So tell me about the winner and the celebrations and the emotion of the ball hitting the back of that net.
It was a big it was a great feeling when the ball hit the back of the net and celebrating with the Longford fans up in the apartment complex behind the ground was very good. It was very funny, I thought. So and then have all the lads to celebrate with you as well. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, like all great League of Ireland fans, some Longford supporters found their way on the roof of the apartment block behind Richmond Park to celebrate with the team. And for you, Joe, at the other end, your team kept a clean sheet. The back three has worked really well this season. And, you know, the two midfielders sitting in front of you, I thought Dean Zamber and Aidan Irvine played really well again. And your brother scored the goal to win the game. And you guys at the other end did your very best, particularly late injury time and Shells doing everything they could to try and save their own League of Ireland Premier Division status. You were very delighted with your clean sheet.
Yeah, big time. And, the system we play, it requires so much hard work from the boys. Like, the work that Dean Zamber and A put in off the ball, those switches of play, you know, you're very open for a switch of play, but the reason people haven't broken us down that way is down to the work that the lads doing there, you know, they're working across the pitch. And even our wing-backs as well, Shane and Aaron, the work they've put in over the playoffs, up and down those wings, the ground they cover must be amazing. So, I'm delighted to keep a clean sheet, but it's really down to the hard work that the boys put in. Couldn't do it without them, you know. So, delighted overall, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a few of the players went live on Instagram when you went back into the changing rooms after, and those winning moments for a football team when you're all together back in the dressing room are some of my favourite moments in football. What was it like, Joe, and just that release of emotion and the pressure is off and you've achieved the goal and a chance to celebrate together?
It's amazing. As you say, they are the best moments of football, getting to share that with a group of lads who you admire and who you've come so far with. And getting back into that dressing room after, I suppose, that's when all the emotion pours out because, you know, up until that point, you know, the playoffs were brilliant, but we hadn't achieved anything, you know. We hadn't got where we wanted to be. So all that emotion was pent in and all the nerves were pent in leading into the game and we knew what we wanted to achieve. And then once that final whistle goes and you're with the men that you've come so far with, you get back into that dressing room and things just go wild. It's an amazing feeling, the type of stuff that lives on with you forever. So memories that will go on forever for me anyways, definitely.
What did the manager say to you after, Rob, when again he had a chance, I'm sure, just to say thanks and well done?
Say that again, sorry.
Just what did the manager say to you afterwards? I know after the three playoff games was, you know, a real emotional huddle after each one, but I'm sure again when you go back to the changing rooms he was able in private just to say thanks and well done, because it's a massive moment for him as well.
Of course, like the last 3 weeks have been so intense. The work Darren and Johnny have put in, like we've been, I wouldn't say no team in the country put in the work that we did the last 3 weeks and the preparations leading into all the playoff games. And it paved the way for us to beat teams along the way, such as UCD, when you have Dean Bourne scoring last-minute winner, Joe Gorman getting two headers, Aidan Irvine and Kyle Chambers as well scoring against Galway. So it's just we just were able to get that momentum, and I'm glad we could pay the two boys back. Like,
yeah, interesting to talk through the playoffs, because if we look at the end of the season, a loss to Wexford on the last night of the regular season possibly could have cost you guys the playoffs had other results gone different ways and stuff. Thankfully for you guys, you got into the playoffs, Joe, and I was able to do commentary for the live stream about the game against UCD, the 3-2. Rob mentioned Dean Burns, last minute winner in extra time, and then the win over Galway, and was at Richmond yesterday to watch the final. How would you look back on the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, from that Wexford defeat into the 3 playoff wins in a row?
Yeah, I suppose the 3 or 4 weeks we've had kind of sum up football for me. Is so many highs and so many lows, and trying to keep your emotions in check going through all that is kind of the main thing for us. But looking back to when we lost to Wexford, you know, inconsistency was something we struggled with all season, and we knew something had to change going into the playoffs, but never felt a lack of belief in the change room. Dara and Johnny just backed their players to the end. Like, every moment they were so positive, and after that Wexford game, we knew we had to do something, and they really asked the players to buy into a different kind of approach to the playoffs, a very intense approach. It's the most detailed approach to football games I've ever been involved in. And fair dues to them, because they put in some amount of work for us. And to be able to go out on the pitch on those 3 playoff games and pay them back for the work that they put in was just, it's a great feeling, because those two boys deserve it just as much as anyone, more so even, because, as I said, it's just the approach, and then from the attitude from the players to buy into that approach as well is amazing. And that's why we managed to get to where we are, because of the attitudes of all those people. So, yeah. That's all.
What was the approach, and why was it so intense, and how much did it help you guys at the business end of the season, which eventually led to the ultimate goal of getting promoted?
Yeah, it was intense. We prepared for every situation in a football match that you can think of, and I know obviously you think in 90 minutes so many things can happen, but we looked at every situation that we could. We were on Zoom calls with each other, going through presentations and stuff on what we'll do if this happens and what we'll do if that happens. And so there was no panic on the pitch, even when we went 1-0 down against UCD. That was something that we talked about. You know, you never want to talk about losing on a football pitch or going 1-0 down, but everyone was big enough to just discuss it and go through and what will happen if that does happen. So there was no panic in those situations. And then the controlled approach against Galway, again, it all came down to preparation, because we went through all the different scenarios. We looked at how the opposition plays and the different threats they might have to us. And so yeah, it was detailed in that way, preparing for every situation I could think of.
Well, for you, Rob, at the other end, the system is a very interesting one, with the back three and the wing backs, and then the two sit midfielders, the two attack midfielders, and then yourself as the striker. And even in the game yesterday, you had to do a lot of work in trying to hold the ball up and allow the attacking midfielders in Chambers and Grimes or Byrne to get near you. And you've scored the goals, but you've also played a role in terms of linking the game and allowing your teammates up to support you and stuff. How have you found that role? And it's an interesting system to watch from the sidelines. What's it like for you to play in as the man at the very top of it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's obviously different to last year with Kevin Dealey. Boy, I knew that coming into the team. With the quality of players that Longford have, it's just great to play with them, being honest. The likes of Dean Bourne, Dylan Grimes, Chambo, Shane as well, like bombing up the wing. Like, they're unbelievable players. And so it's easy as well for me when I get on the ball. I can trust them so much with it. And we can we're able to pass around teams and create opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, and from your own point of view, to have been top scorer last season with Cabin Teed, I think 17 league goals, and then some goals in the playoffs as well. 10 this year is like 27, 28 goals across what really is only a season and a half, when you consider that a third of the games or more were cut off this season because of COVID. And, you know, you've spent time at a couple of other clubs and maybe didn't get as many first team minutes as you would have wanted after you became too old for under-19s. You must just be so happy with the last 18 months or so and the number of goals that you've scored, important goals at the top end for both Cabin Teedy and Longford.
Yeah, well, I always backed myself to score goals, so it's nice when it does happen. And when we came back from the from the lockdown. Like, it took me a while to score. It took me a couple of games. And but as I said, like, when you have players in the dressing room who back you and you back them, like, it makes it, the pressure isn't as big, and it's, you're able to trust the players around you, and you feel like you will score. And when you do, it's great, like, to repay the team, and because they believe in you, and it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, I think from speaking there to your brother a minute ago, he spoke about the importance that the coaching staff and the manager have played in it, Rob. And I was looking online, you've played in every single match this season. Only Lee Stacey has played more minutes than you. Joe's a little bit behind you in appearances, 3 or 4, and the same in minutes. But, like, you spoke about some of the games maybe where you didn't score, but yet the next game you were still starting, the next game you were still playing almost 90 minutes every week. And that has to give you some amount of, you know, I suppose, extra confidence that the manager knows, even if maybe it's not going too well in front of goal, he knows if you do get a chance, you will score, and you proved that in the end.
Yeah, as a striker, you're always going to go through patches like this where you don't score, and you just have to keep backing yourself and keep practicing and training. And eventually, like, you will get a rub of green, like, the ball might literally hit off your arse and go in the goal. And then you'll find out next week and the weeks coming that they just seem to flow in. Like, it's a mad game. It's the hardest thing you'll do and the easiest thing you'll do is scoring goals.
For you, Joe, you're at the end of your second full season at Longford, having played in UCD's underage system and St. Pat's. So your first 2 years as a senior player, I know last year you were very disappointed in the playoffs with the man beside you, I think, scoring the goal for Cabinteely to knock Longford out. And a year later, he's scoring the goal for Longford to get promoted. And for you as well, you're a young player. You're born in 99. So in terms of the League of Ireland, you're still really a baby. Like, and you've been a regular in a team that's just got promoted. How would you reflect on your year and your 2 years, I suppose, at Longford, helping the club get back to where it feels it belongs?
God, yeah, it's an amazing feeling. And, you know, last year, obviously, I wasn't getting the minutes that I wanted, but I had two lads playing ahead of me that I could learn so much from in Conor Kenna and Mick McDonald. So that was a great year for me last year. It was frustrating at times, but still learned so much. And then this year, you know, I was given a chance to get on and start, and I managed to keep me place with some tough competition this year as well. I managed to hold me place down there. And to do it for this club is amazing, because from the moment I came in from 19th football, I've been treated so well by everyone. Right through the club, you know, the volunteers, everyone at the top, the club, they really treat you well. So to be able to repay those people is really brilliant, and to be able to be kind of more influential in that is a big bonus for me as well. And again, yeah, just to touch on the point, like, I'm a young player and I've managed to do this in my first full season of good minutes. Like, yeah, it's a brilliant feeling. And suppose it's just progression, and now next year we'll look to progress again, you know, and take new challenges on board and see how good we can get, really, I suppose.
Lastly, lads, just on the first division overall, and I know you'll be happy to see the back of it and happy to be in the Premier next season and the challenge that will bring, but I love the first division and I love going to games and I love the opportunities that it gives to young players like the two of you and like lots of others, and also older players. You know, there's other people in that Longford team, experienced players like Lee Stacey and Dean Zambra and others, who are loving their football too, but particularly the opportunity for people like you guys who, you know, played for top under 19 teams and for whatever reason didn't make the breakthroughs at those clubs, that you can go to a Cabinteely in Rob's case last year or Longford this year for both of you, play at the top end of the league, get lots of minutes and achieve your ambitions and really get a good start in senior minutes. Like, it's a really good league for things like that, isn't it?
100%. It's not to be disrespected or nothing like that. Like, sure. Look at Athlone, they're in the semi-final of an FAI Cup now, and they have that to look forward to. I'm not sure where they finished in the league, but like, it's just so unpredictable. And with the introduction of the new playoff system, like this year, I think, what was it, 5 teams able to get into the playoffs. It's crazy, like, and it makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah, it's an amazing league for getting minutes there. As a young player, it really is. And you can learn so much, the different systems, different teams play. And it really is. You're dropped in the deep end of seeing your football coming in from 19th. And there's really no better way to learn, you know.
Great stuff, Joe and Rob Manley. Enjoy the rest of your hangover recovery, if you are hungover. And a break, of course, before you're back into...
I'll be over already.
Very good. I'm sure you're back into some runs and Zoom sessions in December to get ready for pre-season in the Premier Division and a big year ahead for the two of you. So well done this year. Congratulations. And we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
See you soon.